Amen. Thank you, praise team. Thank you, Bethany. Thank you, all those that participated. Great singing this morning. I didn't even realize that wasn't Kevin until I saw young Ethan back there on the drums. He did such a good job. And I remembered Kevin wasn't going to be here, but he did so good I didn't even realize it until I saw him sitting back there. So good job, Ethan. I appreciate that. Bethany told him, now no drum solos, right? No, I'm just kidding. All right, take your Bibles this morning, go to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. Take your Bibles, go to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. We're going to start in verse number 16. It's great to see you. It was a chilly morning this morning, but the sun is shining, and it's always good to be together at church. Just one or two more announcements that I always forget about, because one is on the back of the bulletin, but if you have not downloaded the church app, you can download that by scanning this QR code in the back of the bulletin. That's where sermons and calendars and online giving and all those things are found on the church app. Also, we're going to be placing the order for new church t-shirts, and several of you have already put down your order. If you would like to sign up today for a shirt, just fill that out in the hallway back there on the table. Also, it's good to have a former pastor with us of this church, Pastor Craig, right? He was here from 80 to 90, did you say? 1980 to 1990. So good to see you with us this morning. Glad you are here and welcome this morning. So Ephesians chapter number 6 is where we are. We've been working through the armor of God, and it brings us all the way down to verse number 16 in the scriptures where the Bible says this, above all. That's a pretty important phrase there. We've been talking about other pieces of armor up to this point. We've been told that we're in a battle, that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And up to this point, we've talked about our feet being shod, having our loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. But here in verse 16, the Bible says, above all, importantly, take the shield of faith, the Bible says, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts or the fiery arrows of the wicked. And so we see as we're heading through this battle here that the wicked one that we've learned about earlier in this chapter, where it was described as I just quoted to you, this wicked one is still firing and still seeking to destroy and bring down those that would be serving the Lord. From what I understand is that in Roman times, the ones that carried the shields were often on the front lines, and they would guard the archers and others, and they would hold up the shields, and when the flaming arrows came from the enemy, they could hold the shield up and protect those that were behind them. We also understand that the wicked one, as we have seen description here, these arrows are not just regular arrows. That's bad enough, right, to be in a warfare where arrows are flying and things are happening and you're seeking to hide behind this shield, or as we see here in verse number 16, the shield of faith. But these arrows that are being fired are flaming arrows. They're on fire. And sometimes when you are receiving arrows from the enemy, you don't even know where they're coming from, in which direction they're being fired from. And then when they come, if a flaming arrow hits or strikes, not only does it cause damage where it landed, but that flame or that situation can begin to spread and eventually become out of control. And so in warfare in the Roman time, they would dip the arrow in maybe some pitch or something flammable, and they would fire it at the enemy, hoping to cause damage and then having that damage spread. And so the Bible says here that we should take on the shield of faith. So the first thing we're going to do this morning before we discuss what it is to have faith and to use the shield of faith is to discuss the arrows or these flaming darts that come at us from the wicked one. Now we understand in our life, if you've been a Christian very long, you know and you've experienced attacks from the devil. It's amazing to me how often we don't identify what is happening until sometimes damage is already done. Sometimes we're foolish enough to think that what we're doing is our own idea, are our own thing that we put into our mind, and really we've been under attack from the wicked one. But basically, from verse number 16, the burning arrow, or as the King James says, the fiery darts, it is an illustration that is helping us understand every attack launched against the people of God. An arrow, but this arrow is on fire. Some examples of arrows. And I imagine if I were to ask for volunteers, there would be arrows that the devil has fired at us that we would hardly believe at some of his lies and some of his deceptions. One of the arrows the devil likes to use is temptation. Temptation to sin, to fall against God, to live our life against God. So he'll fire an arrow of temptation. This temptation can include lies that he feeds. We live in a world that is dominated by lies. And I know I talk about this a lot, but social media, if you're on social media, I hate to say this, but you know that not everything's true there, right? All right? I hope I didn't ruin anyone's day by telling them that not everything is true on Facebook or whatever else there is out there. And even nowadays, it's even more difficult because now AI, or artificial intelligence, is so good at mimicking truth, you can see something. I had one time somebody brought me a video of a bus that drove over a cliff, and they were saying, look what a terrible driver that is. And I said, well, that video is fake. No, it's not. That's a real accident. No, it's not. It's a computer-generated image of an actual event that did not occur, right? All these lies that are out there. So the devil fires lies of temptations. He wants people to believe a man can be a woman and a woman can be a man, and that you can have children that way, and all these different kind of things. Lies, the devil comes after you. Well, it could be even what we consider to be less serious. The devil can fire flaming darts at you of temptation, of sin, of lies. He could cause you to react. Even on the Interstate 25 out there, doesn't Colorado have some sort of sign flashing that says, if it's an angry driver, don't react, right? Don't have road rage, you know? And so people react to all these different things going on. Well, the devil can fire temptations to have us react in a way. Or even in our marriage, between a husband and a wife, that we react in the wrong way and say things we shouldn't say. The devil is firing arrows and darts, seeing what he can cause damage to. Rage. The devil can tempt us to be unforgiving, to have a grudge against somebody. And you've heard me say many times that unforgiveness is the only poison you drink, hoping it kills the other person. Unforgiveness causes health problems, causes difficulty, causes hardship. The devil fires his darts, and he wants them to land, and he wants them to cause as much damage as he can. Unforgiveness, lust. The enemy has lobbed flaming arrows at your heart and your mind. You get a little bit of an idea of some of his arrows. But what about our thoughts and our own mind? The devil is a master at thoughts. We can be tempted to sin, to lie, to react, to be unforgiving, to have lust, and allow all these different things in our lives as the devil attacks us. What about our thoughts? What about self-destructive thoughts? What about thoughts that the devil has planted in our minds that eat away at our own self-worth and our own position before God in Christ? As the devil plants ideas and lies and thoughts in our minds. The devil loves to fire arrows of doubt. We begin to doubt God. We begin to ask, does God really love me in Christ? Is God's word really true? Is Christ really the only Savior? All these arrows are fired, doubting God, doubts about ourselves, doubts about what sin is. What about this one? This one may get a little close to home. What about worry? Has anyone here ever worried about anything? Only me and Jeremiah. Okay, that's it. Thank you, Jeremiah. At least you know your youth pastor is honest, all right? Thank you. So, no one in here ever worries. I mean, what about worry? What about fretting over things constantly? What about the devil's temptation for us to treat our problems bigger than God? Is that not part of what worry is? Is that we begin to treat our problems bigger than God. And the devil will come with his arrows and his temptations, and he'll say, look, you've had it this time. This is too much for God to handle. God can't work this situation out. This will never get better. You'll never get over this. On and on we go. That's the lies of the devil and these fiery darts that come of temptation, of self-destruction, of doubt, of worry, of treating our problems as though they are bigger than God, and allowing our circumstances to have more control over our lives than God does. Have you ever had that? To allowing a circumstance to have more power over our lives than God does. That's a temptation that we can have, that we can live every day, and we say, well, how is your day going? And most of the time we lie and say, hey, it's going great, right? And I asked Alex this morning, I said, how's your week been? He's like, it's been rough. I said, I appreciate your honesty. You know, he was working on a French drain, I think you said, and he said, it's been rough. I said, I like that. You know, maybe we need to be more honest sometimes about our lives and the difficulty, but we also have to remember that our circumstances should not have more control over our lives than God does. Worry, concern, these are arrows that come at us. And just a couple more arrows, and you could list others. And this is one that I think is more common in today's society. But what about the arrow not of worry or of doubt or of self-destruction or of temptation or of sin or whatever it may be? But what about the arrow of distraction? Does anyone else struggle with distraction? Right? If you got a cell phone, you're probably distracted, all right? Or if you have even a phone in your house, don't you miss the old days? I remember when I was a kid, the phone would ring, and me and my siblings would rush to see who could answer it first, right? And then you had that long cord that twisted all the way down at the bottom, and it was always a challenge to try to get the thing untangled, but that's a new word, untangled. Anyway, and so we have distractions in this world. We may set aside time for study or for prayer, and then our phone goes ding. And it's a notification that somebody liked your post on Facebook. And you have got to check that out because that is so important for your life. And so you just lay aside the prayer time for just a moment to find out it's your own mom that liked the post and no one knew, right? Or whatever it may be. And so, you know, who knows? I'm just giving examples. But, you know, we have different things or a text message. Or a phone call, or what do they call it? Scrolling. And some people say, I'll even say to my kids, you know, are you mindlessly scrolling? That's what the term is nowadays. Mindlessly scrolling is like that. You know, have you ever seen people do that? Just, I'm looking through the videos to see what could possibly be new and all these random facts that might be true and they might not be true, right? We're scrolling. We're distracted. You know, listen, let me tell you something. If the devil can't destroy you, all he has to do is distract you. Do you know that? I mean, he's just as happy to have you distracted from doing what you're supposed to be doing. If he can't destroy you, if you're not having trouble with sin or lying or unforgiveness or self-destruction or doubt or worry, well, then the devil's like, okay, fine. I'll just distract you. You literally do nothing because you're distracted from doing what God would have you to do. If he can't destroy you, he will distract you. And so he says in verse number 16, the Bible, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Distraction, worry, doubt, temptation, doubt and lies, negative emotions, wicked schemes, plans the devil has to bring you down. The Bible is making a point. We are in a warfare. And the devil is not your friend. His plans will not help you. They are out to destroy you, harm you, and keep you away from God. But ultimately, this is what I think, as you look at the schemes and the deceptions of the devil, most of them lead to one of two things. Number one, they keep you from believing the truth about God and not trusting God. In our worry, we don't trust God. In our doubts, we don't trust God. When we are tempted to sin, to disobey, we are doubting the instruction that God has given to us in His Word. So really, Satan and his lies and his arrows that he has given is simply every day of your life trying to get you to doubt God and not trust God by doing something else, by following your life in another way. Satan is trying to get us away from God, to get us to not think that God's ways and God's power and God's understanding is best. The devil has done this from the very beginning. I've gone back to this story more times than I can count, but remember what the first thing he says to Eve? Yea, hath God said. Immediately, doubt God. That has been his trick from the very beginning. Even when he is tempting Christ, he is tempting Christ to not follow through with the plan that was laid before the foundation of the world. And Christ responds with the truth of Scripture time and time again. Even in our life, when we are tempted to doubt, as I've said, to worry, to be distracted, a lot of it leads to a distrust in God. Why does Satan do this? Because Satan wants glory for himself. Satan has one goal in mind, which is to diminish the glory of God on earth and attack God's reputation in the heart and minds of his people. So what is he really aiming at with his fiery darts? He's aiming at what we think and feel about God. Satan is constantly trying to get us to quit trusting God. And in that, in these darts, the devil will use success or struggle. Both times, both ways. The devil can use success and struggle. He can use wealth or poverty. He can use joy or depression. He's trying to get at how you feel about God. So how do you respond according to Ephesians 6 and verse number 16? How do I respond against the fiery darts? Well, the Bible tells us in verse number 16, above all, taking the shield of faith. So when the devil responds with his doubts, with his worries, with his lies, with his temptations, we respond with faith and trust in God. There's a missionary named John Patton. He was a missionary to the South Seas in the island tribe there, and he was translating the Bible. And from what I read, I understand that there was not a word in that language that he was translating the Bible into for faith or trust. And so one day, as the story goes, he was in his home, and one of the local men that he was working with came running into his house, and he had been running some distance, and he sat in the chair. And the young man that was part of the tribe looked over at John Patton, and he says, "How nice it is to put my whole weight in this chair." He was so tired. And John Patton said, "That's it. That's what faith is. To put my whole weight in a chair." And he translated it that way by saying to place or to rest my whole weight in the chair. So what is faith? It is trusting or placing my whole confidence in God. The devil is going to fire darts at you. Some may be on fire, some may not. But he is after you and he wants you to destroy your confidence in God. And our response to his lies is faith in God and putting our confidence in him. Four ways that we can put our confidence in God. First of all, we put our faith in God's character. Who is God? Well, you can trust God. We can put our faith and rest in the confidence of God's character. The devil comes with his lies and his deceptions. Think about it in your own mind. What lies have you and I believed about God and his character? What lies have we allowed? What arrows have we allowed to stick and to cause harm in our lives? To have faith in God's character. Number two, we have faith in God's plans. Faith in God's plans. I don't understand everything that's going on, and I don't think you do either. But as we are under attack from the evil one, we have faith in God's character and we have faith in God's plans. The Bible says all things work together for good. We trust God, we rely upon God, and we respond to the attacks of the devil with unwavering trust in God and His character, and unwavering trust in God and His plans. Number three, we trust God's promises. Sometimes we don't believe God's promises because deep down, think of this for a moment, trusting God's plan, trusting God's character, and trusting God's promises. But sometimes we don't believe and fully in God's promises because deep down we believe the promises of God are tied to our own worthiness. But the problem is the promise of salvation is tied to the worthiness of Christ, not my worthiness. The promise of eternal security is tied to the finished work of Jesus Christ, not what I have been able to do. The promise of heaven is found in Christ. The promise of forgiveness of sin is found in Christ. So I have trust and faith in the promises of God. Even though the devil may come with lies and say, well, you know, Christ, you know, there may be another way to heaven. Or Christ didn't really cover all your sin. You better do something else just in case. And he comes with these darts and these lies against our mind. But I trust in the promises of God because they are not based upon my worthiness, but upon the worthiness of Jesus Christ. Let me show you this quickly. Go to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8 in verse number 32. Romans 8 in verse number 32, where the Bible says this. Look at this. I love this verse. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. So he's saying, listen, if God gave us his son, is there anything greater that God could do? As he says, he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him freely give us all things? That's the promise of God based upon the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I trust in God and his character. I may not understand everything about what's happening, but I trust God and his plans. And I trust God and his promises through the Lord Jesus Christ. God's promises have nothing to do with our worthiness, but everything to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in him that he has given us these blessings. And then number four, one of my favorites, is the devil comes with his lies of temptation, of doubt, of worry, of self-destructive thoughts, or whatever it may be. I respond in faith by trusting God and his character, God and his plan, God and his promises. But number four, I trust God and his power. God's power. Let me ask you something as you're in this battle against the wicked one. How often do we settle for what we get with our own power? Pretty often, I would imagine. How often do we settle for what we're able to do with our own power? We must trust in God, in his power. We don't only have the shield of faith for defense, but we also can move forward with faith and trust in God, relying upon his power to direct us in every way. God will give us victory over the flaming arrows that come our way through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me show you this quickly. If you go back to chapter number 3 in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 3 in the book of Ephesians, verse number 20. I love this verse, as I say that about all of them, don't I? But he says this in verse number 20. Now unto him, he says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that what? Worketh in us. God is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, not by our own power, but by the power of our risen Christ and the Holy Spirit in our lives. As he says, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. So I trust in God's power. Do we settle for what we can do by our own power? I told this story at a men's breakfast. There was a strongman competition. Have you ever seen those on TV? Have you ever seen me in one of them? No, you haven't. Okay. Anyway, there's a strongman competition where this strongman hooks himself to a 747 jet. If you were at the men's breakfast, you remember this. And so the guy, he gets this rope, you know, and he gets out on the runway, and he hooks himself up, and he starts to pull this thing down the runway. You know, and you're like, whoa, this is awesome. Actually, it's not. Because that jet is built for a lot more than being pulled 50 feet down the runway. It's made to fly and to soar in the air at high elevation and covers thousands of miles in one trip. And so we're all impressed sometimes because we've hooked ourselves to a jet and we pulled it 50 feet down the runway, but that's by your own power. But let me tell you something. God in you has designed more for you than just that. You were made to live by the power of Christ within you, that you can do what you can't do on your own, but you can do through the power of God. So when the devil comes with his lies, his deceptions, and all these things, I'm going to go back and say, listen, devil, I've got a God that has a lot more character than you. I have a God that has a better plan than you have for me. I have a God that has a promise that I can rely upon through the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, have you read the end of the book, devil? You're going to be chained in the lake of fire forever, and I'm going to trust in the God of power that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or think through the power that is in me. So I trust in God's power. And I move forward in this battle, not just quivering behind my shield of faith, but allowing myself to advance by my trust in God. It's not about the strength of your faith. Listen to this. It's not about the strength of our faith, but the object of our faith. Who are we putting our faith in? Our object must be in God. We're no match for the devil and his lies. We could have all the faith in the world in just faith, but God wants our faith to be in Christ, in God, for what He is able to do in our lives. Let me show you this one more verse. We're almost done. Proverbs chapter number 30. Proverbs chapter number 30 and verse number 5. Proverbs 30 and verse number 5, where the Bible says this, every word of God is pure. And look at this. He is a shield unto them that do what? Put their trust in Him. So this shield of faith is not just faith in faith itself, but it's a faith in God. He is a shield to them that put their trust in Him. So basically, we could sum it up this way. The devil is a liar, and every arrow he throws at you is an attack upon God, an attack upon what God is trying to do. And the devil is trying to get you to doubt God and to doubt His way. And I respond in faith by trusting His character, His plan, His promise, and His power. So let me just apply this quickly this morning. This won't take just a moment. How can we apply the shield of faith from Ephesians chapter number 6. Above all, he says, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench or extinguish all the fiery arrows of the wicked. Let me ask you this. Sometimes it's easy to hear different ideas and different applications as we go, but let me ask you this specifically this morning. Is there a temptation or a lie in your life that the devil has lobbed at you? Is there a fiery dart the devil has sent your way and it has stuck in your mind or your heart? Is there something in your life today that is causing you to doubt God's character? Is there a fiery arrow that the devil has lobbed that is causing you to doubt God's plans? Is there a fiery dart the devil has fired at you that has caused you to doubt God's promises? Is there a fiery dart the devil has fired that causes you to doubt God's power? In your own heart today, answer that question. Has there been something that has lodged? Maybe you didn't until just today. You didn't even realize that, you know what, that was a dart of the devil. I have been worked up about this so long, I didn't even realize it was a temptation or a lie the devil had sent my way, and it had stuck, and it didn't extinguish, and it just kept burning and burning, and look at all that it's caused. I'm doubting God. There's a situation in your life that you don't understand, and no one you've talked to understands it either. And it's caused you to doubt God's plan. You begin to say, Do you know what you're doing to the Lord? How could this be your will, you may ask. Oftentimes those can be doubts the devil can lob. Doubting God's character, doubting God's power. Maybe you've sought for redemption from something or a relief from something in your life, and the devil says, God's never going to help you with this. You're always going to deal with this. You'll never be set free. Just imagine that in your mind, that that's one of those fiery arrows. The devil is trying to get you to doubt God and his power, his promises, his plans, or his character. Let's bow our heads together for just a moment. Joanna and Beth, you're going to come. Can we think about this for just a moment in our own hearts as the Holy Spirit works in our own minds and our own hearts? I don't know the hearts and minds of everyone in here. I know my heart, and I know the lies I've believed, and I know the doubts that I've had, and I know the worries I've had. But as they play something for us this morning, could you take a moment, just you and the Lord? Has there been a situation or a temptation or a lie in your life that is causing you right now to doubt God? To doubt his character, to doubt his power, to doubt his plan or his promise. What do you do? Respond in faith. Trust God in who he is. Trust God in his plan. Trust God in his character, his power, and his promise. That through him you can extinguish these lies the devil have sent your way. Take a moment and talk to the Lord today. Respond in faith to the lies of the devil. Respond in faith to God and what he's doing. Keep our heads bowed for just a moment. No one's looking around. I just want to ask you this question. Who in here would be honest and raise your hand and say, Josh, there's been a time in my life I believed a lie the devil told me. Would you raise your hand? And that arrow came at me and it lodged and it has caused damage. Thank you. You can put your hands down. One more question. Who in here today would say, Josh, today I recognized the flaming arrow and I've responded in faith to God about this. Would you raise your hand? I've recognized the flaming arrow. Thank you. Many hands. And I've responded in faith to God over that situation. Praise the Lord. Thank you. You can put your hands down. I pray today the Holy Spirit will work in our hearts that we'll respond in faith as the devil lobs these attacks at us about who God is. Let's stand to our feet at this time. We'll read our final verse together. Proverbs chapter number 3. Everyone knows this. You probably don't even need to read it off the board. But let's say this together this morning. Ready? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Proverbs 3:5-6. Amen.